Okay, Rabosai, what I want to discuss with you today is the last se'if in Siman Kuf Pei Hei, and then I'd like to do Siman Kuf Pei Vav. That's the basic goal. The last se'if in Siman Kuf Pei Hei talks about, it doesn't come up at all, Bismanazeh. Mamish. If you want to know something that you're never going to get a shaila on, this is one of them. Never you'll get a shaila. Although, there's one detail that we'll talk about that the shaila might come up. But the din is that a fellow's having tashmish hamita with his wife and she's tahora, and in the middle of the tashmish hamita, she says, right? Basically, that you're not allowed to leave with kishri ha'ever because there is hana'a on the Yitzia, the same as there is on the actual Bia. Ketzah Ya'aseh, what you should do is Noetzi Parnei Raglav Ba'aretz V'Shoheb Li Disha Achyamos Ha'Ever Parish Be'Ever Meis. Basically, what you do is you remain there, Achyamos Ha'Ever, you have to be Noetzi Parnei Raglav, some of the Rishonim say Tzi Parnei Yodav, Anti Parnei Raglav, meaning the Yerushalmi says, the Badei HaShulchan points out, that you're supposed to put yourself in discomfort. And by being in discomfort, what will happen is that will lead to Achyamos HaEver, and then you can be Poresh afterwards. As you mentioned, this is a Gemara in Shavuos and elsewhere, where the Gemara says that this is considered the Aseh Shebenidah, that you're supposed to be Poresh be'Ever Meis. Rabbi Yosef Engel was Mamish a Goyin Olam. He lived 1859 until 1920. Rabbi Yosef Engel ended up being the Rav in Krakow, the Abbess of Krakow. He was a classical Galatianer. If you want to get a sense of what a Galatianer is, basically it's someone who takes a chakira, and it could be the same type of chakira, let's say, that Reb Chaim would ask. And in analyzing that chakira, unlike Reb Chaim, who would like try to figure out what does the din mean and look at the Rambam and read the Rambam, the Galatiana derech was that you'd have a question and you'd analyze the question by bringing 25 Gemaras as raya's. That's like the type of thing. It's mamish dripping bekiyas. The Galatiana derech. Like they knew every Gemara, every Yerushalmi, like unbelievable. These guys, Rabbi Yosef Engel, was mamish a goyin olam. So he has a sefer, a beautiful sefer, Asvin de Oraisa, and the sefer Asvin de Oraisa has in klal chafdalet. Has a discussion about the Gemara has a principle that misasek b'chalavim u'ba'arayis is chayiv shekein nehena. Ordinarily, I can only be chayiv if I do a maisa with das. If I don't have any das at all, I do a maisa like misasik. For example, let's say I'm carrying outside, it's Shabbos. I don't know that I'm carrying. I don't know that the Erev is down. Nani Shekein. So the pashtus is that misasek is not a maisa avera at all. It's like a maisa kaif. The action happened on its own. I didn't do it. If I am not cognizant of what I did, it's ke'ilu I didn't do it. That's the lumdus of misasik. There's a teeny bit of a chakira over here. Some disagree. There's a famous machlokes Reb Kiva Eger and the Nesivos in Tshuvas Siman Ches, where Reb Kiva Eger assumes that misasik is Reb Kiva Eger. Yeah, and the Nesivos in the Sefer Mekar Chayim. But yesterday we spoke about Nesivos's Sefer Chavos Das. Today we're going to quote Nesivos's Sefer Mekar Chayim, Pesach. So the Reb Kiva Eger assumes that misasik is only a petor from carbon. But that's Reb Kiva Eger's assumption. The pashtus in Reb Kiva Eger is he assumes an action that happens on its own is still somehow related to me, and there's a special gzeiras hakasav that I'm potter from a carbon. That's the pashtus of Reb Kiva Eger. Reb Yosef Engel and the Makor Chayim assume, and I think intuitively this makes a little more sense, that misaseg is not a maisa aveira klal of the ikar. Misaseg is something that happened on its own. If I have zero das, so you can't say I did it. Elamai, it happened on its own. If it happened on its own, it's not a maisa aveira. Therefore, the Nesivus and Makor Chayim has a yesod that if you have an aveira for which there's a chiyuv, b'lim maisa aveira, bal yiro'o bal yimatzei, right? This is why it appears in Makor Chayim, on Hilchos Pesach. Bal yiro'o bal yimatzei is something that there's no real maisa, right? It shouldn't be by you, right? You could technically violate all your day maisa. The Rambam says if I purchase chametz on Pesach, I get malchus, no? But normative, the standard case is that by yiro'o bal yimatzei is no maisa aveira. If there's no maisa aveira, so misasik is going to be chayav also. That's the yisayid of the Nesivus, right? The Nesivus and Rabbi Yosef Engel both assume that misasik means it's not a maisa aveira at all, against Reb Kiva Eger, who says it is a maisa aveira, it's just a patur karbon. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Gemara tells me that even though misasek ordinarily is potter, but misasek by chalavim uba'arayis is going to be chayiv, shekein nehenna. Now, why would that be so, Reb Yosef Engel deals with? So what if I get hana'a? Right? L'maisa, if my action is like a maisa kaif, it's nothing that happened, or it's something that just happened on its own. I didn't do anything. It's a maisa kaif. So why would I be chayiv by chalavim and by arayis? Right? I didn't do it. How could I be chayiv? So Rabbi Yosef Engel develops a yesod that you see from here that the yesod of chalavim and arayis, the yesod of the iser, is that I got hana'a. The Torah does not tell me, or the Torah does not mean, that I should not do a maisa bia with an erva. The Torah means do not have hana'a from bia with an erva. The nature of the iser is the hana'a. Consequently, even though I didn't do it, misasik is not my maisa at all, but misasik by chalavim by rais is going to be chayiv, because the Torah is defining the Avera as a Isser Hana'a, as it were. And Aitaka got Hana'a. That's what Yosef Engel's Yisoid. The Raya to this idea, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, is Ardin. The fact that I have to be Poresh the Aver Meis. Right? Lecha Ora, Ein Lecha Ones or Misasek, Gedola Mizu. The fellow has bia with his wife. She is tahira. She becomes a nida in the middle. So pull out, right? Why do we have to say that you have to wait until actually Yom HaSe'evar? Just pull out, right? You, Teretz is, no. The Isser is the Hana'a. So it's not a maisa bia, it's pulling out. But if there's going to be hana'a, that itself is the nature of the iser of, that itself is the nature of the iser of arayis. That's what he writes in Asrin Doraisa Klal Chof Dalad. He brings another raya to this yisod, right? The Gemara learns from a pasuk, Bavakam Dachmanet Beis. I believe we learn from a pasuk, V'nichrasu ha'nefashos ha'osos, that Ish v'Ishar Shavim are both chayiv in the inyan of Arayis. Now, a woman is karka oilam, no? She's not active at all. So, how could there be a din that the Isha is chayeves on Arayis? It might not be Yehoi Val Yavar because it's Karka Eilam. That's what the Gemara says. But look, all right, there is an Isser for an Isha to be a Mina Efes, no? Like, we learned Tashas Yisrael last week. Now, Lo Sina. Right? It's real, gentlemen, right? If there's one thing, if you finish Yeshiva and you don't know that there's an Isser in the Torah called Lo Sina, we have failed. Right? Good. Agreed? What's the Avera? She's not doing anything. Teretz is, the Avera is that there's Hanok. This leads to B.S. Bengal to have a whole discussion about what's the pshat in B.S. Shalai Kedarka. Right? Is there Hanoa for the woman in B.S. Shalai Kedarka? That's already kind of advanced Talmud that Rabbi Yosef Engel has. Rabbi Yosef Engel brings Rayas this Yisod. The Gemara has a discussion about how do you know that Basar B'cholom is Asar B'Hanoa. Zok the Gemara. The Pasuk says, Basar B'Kodesh, Ki Kodeshu, right? Something like that. And the Pasuk says, Osiya Kedesha. So we learn, according to one opinion, the Gemara, we learn the Isser Hanav by Basar B'cholov. We're learning it from Arayus. Oh, well, what's going on over there? It says Kodesh here, it says Kodesh there. Like, what's going on? The Teretz says, no. The Gemara is saying a Yesod. The Yesod is that in both Basar B'cholov and Arayus, Chalovim and Arayus, Chalovim doesn't mean only Chela, but means Yisuri Achila. The nature of the Isser in the Torah is Shekein Nehena. That's the basic idea. There is a Yerushalmi in Kilayim that Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes. Yerushalmi Kilayim writes that the Isser of Kilayim is Asur B'Hana'ah because it says Pen Tikdash. And we learn from the Pasuk of Rosia, Kedesha, Kaidesh, Kaidesh. Same idea. The Yisrael is that we can learn Yisrei Hana'ah based on the din of Kodesh in the Torah. So Rabbi Yosef Engel is using our Gemara / Halacha in Shulchan Aruch to teach me that the nature of the Isurei Arayis is an Isser Hanoa primarily. It's not that the Torah asers the Maisa, and that's the lumdus of the din that Misasek by Chalavim and Arayis is going to be Chayiv Shekein Nehena. Now, the din that we have, Mishamish Matahira V'Amrlon Et Meisi, we mentioned that never happens. But there is a related case that actually does come up, that the Badei HaShulchan points out in the Beit Urim, I forgot which page, on the Sif, that there's a machlokas between the Chavis Das and the Pre-Deo, and the Kazas and the Paradis Rimonim. There's a machlokas hazay. Let's say a fellow has a beal with his wife, but ona hasamach lavesta. Do you have to be poresh be'ever meis? Right, you're having a beal with your wife, and suddenly, like, you make a question like, oh my gosh, it's ona hasamach lavesta. So now what? Now what? So the Paradis Rimonim writes, you should be poresh right away. Unlike the case of Hayimishamishim Hatahira, where she mamishes a nida, when you have a woman who is Ba'ona Hasamach Lavesta, she's not a nida. Narvas, you're worried she'll become a nida. So the longer you remain in the Maisa Via, the more likely it is to violate the real McCoy of the Isser. So therefore, the Paradis Rimonim says you should be poivesh be'ever chai. That's the Paradis Rimonim's Yisod. The Chavis Das, however, writes, and I believe the Pesach Tshuva over here quotes it also, Os Yud, Pesach Tshuva writes, Ayin Chavis Das, Shekasav d'hu adin k'shashime somach levesta v'shogeg v'nimska v'emza tashmish, sarach gam kein lifrosh be'ever meis. That's the din, according to the Chavis Das. Now, what's the pshat in this? What's the pshat in the Chavis Das? So Reb Feivel Cohen suggests initially that maybe the Chavis Das is l'shitasai, that he holds that Ona HaSamach LaVesta is a full-fledged chash, that she's going to become a nida. We discussed this already. And therefore, according to the Chavos Das, if she loses her bedika coif that she used to do a bedika by Ona HaSamach LaVesta, if she loses that bedika coif, the Chavos Das says she's Tameya. So if that's the case, so Ms. Dama, the Chavos Das would say, Ona HaSamach LaVesta is the same as, what's it called? Is the same as Mishamish Matahira for Amaron at Macy. That we treat it mamish like a full-fledged nida. However, McFaivel says, I don't like that. And his I don't like that to me is like a funny backwards type of I don't like that. Meaning he says, we don't hold like the Chavos Das that if you lose the bedika coif, you're tamei. But we do, he says, hold like the Chavos Das that if you have bia with your wife, but ona hasamach lavesta, that you are not supposed to be poresh be'ever chai. You wait as she yamos ha'ever. So he says, how did these dinim shtim? How could I hold that you're not poresh be'ever chai? So Vival Cohen, oh, it's actually Bani Ashrochon, page 27. I wrote down my notes, look at that. So Vival Cohen has the following suggestion. He suggests that the reason why you should be poiresh be'ever mace is because we're worried that since there is hana'ah from the prisha, kenzain that hana'ah itself will be gorem or re'iyastam. If you remember, we spoke about the sheet of the ra'ah, right? The ra'ah says that the reason why Prisha b'onah samach l'vesta zidin d'oraisa, even though Vesis itself is drabonin, right? The Ra'ah says, because we're worried that b'shas tashmish, she's going to have a re'iyas dam, which might mean that the hanos tashmish will cause a re'iyas dam. So therefore, if you purish be'ever chai, maybe that's going to give the hanos tashmish, and maybe that will be goreim the re'iyas dam. So therefore, I should stay inside until actually Yamos HaEver. That's his suggestion. But then McFaivel Cohen says, whoa, 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 hold it, hold it. What we're really telling the husband to do, I apologize for the graphic nature of this, but what we're really telling the husband to do is to remain be'emtza ma'isa habiyah, to remain with an Ever Chai, for a decent amount of time, actually Yamos HaEver, no? Now, l'cha'ora, that's difficult, because every moment that you are be'ever chai inside, right, the woman who is Asura, so you violate a further Isser every moment. Once it's actually Yamos HaEver, so the din is that Mishamish Mace Barayis is Potter. When the Ever is Mace, there's no Isser Arayis at all. But if it's Ever Chai, well, how are you violating Isser every moment? So says Rav Feivel, he thinks that there's no violation of the Isser when you are inside, because the Isser is the Maisa Bia. And when you're inside, even though you're be'ever chai, it's not considered an additional iser every moment that you remain the kishrei ha'ever. Now, what you see from Reb Feivel Cohen's analysis is one of my favorite topics in Judaism. Those of you who were in my shiurim for Shabbos probably remember this. Reb Feivel's bothered by the kasha, how are you allowed to remain inside the kishrei ha'ever? Apparently, he's bothered, every moment that you're b'kishrei ha'ever, you're going to violate an additional iser. No? One second. But each iser that I violate when I am b'kishrei ha'ever is an aveira b'shev v'al ta'aseh. No? If I leave b'ever chai, I'm doing it b'kum aseh. Maybe one could argue that I should leave be'ever chai right now, to violate one Avera, rather than violating many Averas when you're inside. That's what Reb Feivel assumes in his Hanacha. He says, L'chari, you should leave Be'ever Chai, because that would be one Ma'isa Avera, as opposed to remaining inside the Kisha Aver, which is an Avera each moment. Reb Feivel answers the Kasha by saying, oh, it's not an Avera each moment. There's no Avera in remaining B'Kisha Aver. But you see that he holds like this Yesod, that it is worse to violate many lower level Averos than it is to violate one bigger Avera. No? We spoke about this in our Shabbos shiurim a lot. Let's say a person does an Isser of Shehiya. He puts the pot on the fire, and the pot is on the fire be'isser. So the Chazanish writes that every moment the pot is on the fire be'isser, you're going to violate another Avera of Shehiya, because he says it's an Avera b'sheva al taisa of Shami Yechat v'gecholam. Every moment you're going to violate an additional Isser. So therefore, you should take the pot off. Even though taking the pot off is doing an Avera b'yadayim, the Avera in the case of the Chazanish is I'm doing an Isser of total mukta, right? The pot that's not fully cooked is mukta. Says the Chazanish, it's better to violate one Avera than to violate many Averas b'sheva al taisa over time. Reb Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this in regarding the din of Mechiras Chometz. It's a tshuva that I wrote to Reb David Rachman, who was a Rosh Hashiva here between 1919 and 1921. That's Rabbi Manny Rachman's father. So Reb Moshe has a tshuva, should you sell the Chometz for a Baal HaBos who is going to do business with the Chometz over Pesach? If I sell the Baal HaBos's Chometz, so then what happens is every time he takes a bottle of schnapps and sells it, he's violating any serious avera of by Rabbi Yimotzi B'Kumese, right? If I don't sell the chametz, so then he's going to violate the avera on every kezias of chametz that he has b'Shaval Tasa. And Moshe says it's better to sell the chametz because fewer averas, right, is better than more averas. Even though the more Averis will be more Averis of a lesser severity, and the fewer Averis will be fewer Averis of a greater severity. But if I sell the Chometz B'Yadayim, it's a Maisa Avera Isser Sheish B'Malkus, according to the Rambam. But it's better to violate fewer Isurim with a, albeit with a greater stringency, than to violate more Isurim, albeit with a lesser stringency. That's the Yesod of the Chazanish. That's the Yesod of Reb Moshe Feinstein. I have an Eglay Tawa as this Yesod also, if a person climbs a tree on Shabbos, B'Shogeg. So is it better to stay on the tree? It says that you're allowed to come down, or you're mechuyev to come down. So the Eglay Tawa says you're mechuyev to come down. Even though when I come down, I'm doing a maisa biyadayim, a mishtamish bi'ilan actively, if I jump off the tree, I just sit there, it's passive. But it's better to violate fewer averis of greater severity than more averis of lesser severity. Every moment I stay on the tree, I'm going to be in violation of a different avera, mishtamish bi'ilan. Eglay Tal has a Yisayim, and Moshe Feinstein has a Yisayim, Chazanish has a Yisayim, and Reb Feivel Cohen over here has a Yisayim. And this morning I found the Hagoyin Rabbi Yosef Engel, who we now know lived between the years 1859 and 1920, and is the Rav of Krakow, and was a super duper looper Iloy Goyin Gadol Mamish. Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Sefer Lekach Toiv has an essay, Klal Tesvav, is Riboy Kamus Machria Es Ha'echos. Riboy Kamus, doing more quantitative Isurim, does that overcome the Echos, the severity of the Isur? Is Riboy Kamus, which is Machria which? Right? Riboy Echos or Riboy Kamus? That's the Shailah. Rabbi Yosef Engel, right? Mamish, classic. Yes, ten gemaras this way, ten gemaras that way. Rabbi Yosef Engel's godless is he doesn't only focus on laughing, he focuses on mitzvah haseh also, no? If I have $1 million to give away, the Kodesh Baruch Hu should give me such a bracha. If I have $1 million to give away, it's stuck up. Is it better to give a one-time $1 million gift to Yeshiva University and have a desk named after me, or the equivalent, because Yeshiva University like costs a lot of money to get anything named after you, but is it better to give a one-time $1 million gift, which will have a lot of the bang for the buck, or is it better to give, like the Lahavdo, the Polish lottery, right, $1 to 1 million different mostos? Right, one $1 million gift, or, right, 1 million gifts of $1 a piece. The Rambam writes in Perish HaMishnah Maseches Avos, Hakol lefi rov hamaaseh, velo lefi godel hamaaseh, zok the Rambam. Rov hamaaseh means it's better to give $1 to 1 million different maestas than $1 million to one mosad.
So
that
means by averis,
so Rabbi Yosef Engel says that the same as mitzvahs and averis, in other words, quantity is a greater value, is more important than quality. The impact that I'd have with a $1 million gift is greater. That would be more echos. And it's better to do in the positive mitzvah saseh side, it's better to do more kamos. Kamos is worse in the laban, and it's better in the mitzvah saseh. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel's essay. Absolutely brilliant, no? By the way, in Lomdus and Tzedakah, I think it's an important yesod. Yesh lachkor in the mitzvah of Tzedakah. Is a mitzvah Tzedakah there to make me a better person? To make me a more generous individual, to improve my neshama, my midos, or is the mitzvah tzedakah to help someone else? L'cha'ora, point to this Rambam, the hakol lefi rov hamaaseh, right? The pshat is if I give $1 million to 1 million different people, I am becoming a better person 1 million times. No? It's a very important yisayit, I think, in the mitzvah tzedakah. The Chofetz Chaim, by the way, in the Sefer Avas Chesed, paskins like that Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah. Okay? In terms of making our calculations of how we give tzedakah, it's an important cheshbin. And thus, in the Hakdama to Rabbi Yosef Engel's Sefer, the Lekach Tayyib Klal Tesvav is where he has his essay. So he quotes from some Talmud Chacham, who sent him a letter. He says, yeah, you quoted all these Marim Mekaymis about Riboy Hakamos versus the Echos, like we spoke about. I love these topics, by the way. He missed the Marim Akim. Sefer Achinuch, Mitzvah Tavkuf Samach Aleph. The Torah says, O Yavo Amoni Moavi B'Kahal Hashem. Right? They can never come to Kal Hashem. The Mitzrim, Dar Revi, Yashuvo Hena, no? Mitzri is Aser for Gimel Tiris. Now, when you think about it, Amon and Moav did a bad thing one time. Mitzrayim did bad stuff to us for 200 yar, 210 years. 210 yar. That's Raif Hakamas. But apparently the Avera of the Amonimoyev, again, probably because the Avera is an Avera in Midos, not just an Avera in, like, there's so much that we could give Musa on this. Avera is probably an Avera of Midos, not just an Avera of Bein Adam Makom, so to speak. Amonimoyev's one Avera is worse than the many, many, many averis of Mitzrayim. So in that case, you see that Riboy Ha'echos is worse than Riboy Hakamas, which is the opposite of what we said from the Chazon Ish and Moshe, et cetera, et cetera. Rabbi Yosef Engel has like 10 gemaras this way, 10 gemaras that way, and like he gets so excited that someone brought him Aram Makom, which I didn't have, the Sefer Achinuch, the Mitzvah, Tavkov Samachah. Ayin Shom, B'Tim Tanach, has a beautiful Shtekot Torah. I want to learn Siman Kuf Pei Vav very briefly. At the end of Kuf Pei Hei, the Ramah gives us rules and regulations of how you do tshuva. If a person is Baal Ishto, and she ends up having a Re'ias Nida, so there are rules in terms of the tshuva that you do. All the Achrayim say that Bizmanenu, we don't do tshuva Ayidei Sigufim. The idea of Sigufim to do tshuva in terms of fasting, Tanios, and Mondays and Thursdays for how long, and we pay them the money, etc. Right? The Rama writes, our Blayim Yayin, Monday and Thursday, we don't do tshuva Ayidei Tanesim today. The tshuva that we do is what we call tshuvas hamishko, which means if a person is nichshal in an aveira in Hilchos Nida, you know what you should do? Take out your sefer and learn Be'ion. We don't do tshuva. The Chassam Sefer has this in tshuvas. Many poskim say you should be shav with the Talmud Chacham, who knows you well, if you did an aveira, to get a sense of a proper perspective of the type of tshuva that you should do. But our mahalach bizman hazeh, Rav Vosner has in the Shira Sheva Talevi, is that we don't do sigufim as tshuva. But if certainly if you're a ben Torah, and certainly if your Avodas Hashem is primarily in the Beis Medrash, to do acts of tshuva, right, let's be honest, most of us don't learn as well on Tanesim as we do on a day when we have a good breakfast, no? Am I right? I'm not making this up, right? Agreed? So the type of tshuva we should do should not be a tshuva, Rahman al-Utslan, that takes us away from our Avodas Hashem. Right, my Avodas Hashem is Gemara, Rashi, Taisis, Shach, and Tanz. Right, we skipped a little bit in between. But that's the idea. That's the way that's our Avodas Hashem as Bnei Torah. Sometimes people make mistakes. Right? People do Averis, and everyone does Averis, and they open up Sfarim, and they give you rules of tshuva. That is not for our dar. Our dar's approach to tshuva, I think, has to be very different. There is much literature about this question. Siman Kuf Pei Vav. Siman Kuf Pei Vav is Azoi. There is a Mishnah in Nida Yud Aleph, Lepa'amayim Tzricha Livdaik. Lifnei Tashmish and La'achar Tashmish. That's the Mishnah in Yud Aleph. The Gemara Yud Aleph on the base has a statement, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shmuel, I believe, that koza is l'taharis, aval l'bayla ein sarach l'bidika. Kosha hu l'bayla ein sarach l'bidika. The Gemara Yud Beis Amud Aleph has a machlekes Remeir in the Tanya of Panina ben Antiknus. Remeir says an isha she'ein la veses is going to be asur l'bayla la'olam. An isha she'ein la veses, her period is like all over the place. So she's asur labayla because you don't know at any moment the period could come. So therefore, asur labayla oilam. That's Remeir. The Chanina ben Antignus says that no. The Chanina ben Antignus says that she's not asur labayla oilam. Do you need bedikas according to Chanina ben Antignus? So again, not exactly easy to understand. And the last line of the Gemara in the Perek, the last line on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, is the Gemara says that there's a machlekes hashitos. That's the last line in the Perek. Rashi learns that me'ikar hadin, and not only me'ikar hadin, halacha l'maisa is up to Rashi, there is no need for bedikas at all, kodem tashmish. Zero need at all. The Rush thinks that Rashi should be correct. However, since the Rabbeinu Chananel writes that you should do Bedikas before and after Tashmish, based on, again, the same Gemara, the Gemara says that this is this position, that's this position, and how you square those two lines in the Gemara is two deyas in Rashi. Rashi rejects a second deya. The second deya ends up saying that, no, you have to do bedikas lebaila also. The Rabbeinu Chanan of Paskin is like, what is the second day in Rashi? That you need bedikas kaidim tashmish and after tashmish. The Rush says, although Rashi seems to be correct, but since Rabbeinu Chanan is called the Vora of Divrei Kabbalah, so therefore, right, you have to follow Rabbeinu Chanan as a matter of practical halacha. That's the Rush. The Rif seems to have a third shita. The third shita of the Rif is that you should do bedikos. So again, we're talking about an isha she ein la veses. Right? An isha she yesh la veses is kuf pei vav seif aleph, where, again, there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the rest of Judaism. And we pass an isha she yesh la veses, don't do bedikos at all. Adrava. Right, if you're going to do bedikas, it's a bad thing. The husband's going to see his wife doing bedikas. He's going to think, oh, maybe she had a hargasha, maybe she's tameya. He's not going to have bia. Chazal want them to have bia. So don't do bedikas if you're isha sheyesh lo veses. Isha she'ein lo veses, which is machlokes for Meir and Chanina ben Antiknis. And we're not exactly sure how the dust settles, like we mentioned. We have Rashi, the Rabbeinu Chananel. Two shitas, and the third shita is the Rif. The Rif writes in Isha She'en Lo Veses, you have to be choshesh shall be a real adam achmas tashmish, and therefore you do bedikas the first three times, and if she did not have dam on those bedikas, the pashtus in the Rif is that you only do bedikas achar tashmish, although some understand the Rif a little differently, they need bedikas koidem and achar. The pashtus in the Rif is that you only do bedikas achar tashmish, you make sure she's not a raya da machmas tashmish. Once you know she's not a raya da machmas tashmish, you can have bia forevermore without bedikos. That's the Rif shita. So again, three shitas. Rashi, never. Rabbeinu Chananel, Rambam also, forever. Rif, three times. Shulchan Aruch and Ramah seem to pass him like the Rif. They seem to paskin that you should do bedikas three times. Im ein lo veses kavua shalosh pamim harishonim tzrichen libdal kodin tashmish achar tashmish hu be'eich shalom v'hi be'eich shalom. Once you have a chazaka, oh, this is taught to many kallahs in kallah classes. They are taught that they should do bedikas the first three times. That's the sheet of the Rif that the Mechaber seems to hold like. The thing is that the Shach, we love the Shach. So the Shach writes that lahalacha Rashi is correct. And lahalacha the Rif never said it. Meaning, the Shach says, and you have to read through this whole long Shach, the Shach says, yeah, the Rif said it. But you know where the Rif says it? Meseches Ksubis. Not in Meseches Nida. You would think a din of requiring bedikas chaydim tashmish should be a meseches nida, but the Rif has this din of meseches ksubis, zok the shach, barvos, because the din is only to make sure that she doesn't lose her ksuba, or to make sure she does lose her ksuba. If she's a raya damachus tashmish and it's quote unquote her fault, she loses her ksuba. The bedikas are only la inyan ksuba. And Zuck the Shach, if you read the Rif slowly and carefully, the Rif holds you only do these bedikas after she's Raya Da Machmas Tashmish Ein Mo. After she was Raya Da Machmas Tashmish one time, then you do those bedikas. So now, the Shach basically holds that you never do bedikas Kaidim Tashmish. Again, we had that discussion with Moshe, if it's by those days that she's likely to see dam, so maybe it's a good idea to do a bedikah, not strictly halachically required. The strict halachic requirement of doing bedikahs, according to Rashi, is never. The Shach agrees with Rashi. The Rabbeinu Chanan and the Rambam say always, and the Rif says three times. Shulchan Aruch seems to pass like the Rif. The Shulchan Aruch does not even mention the Shita of Rashi. The Shach paskens like Rashi. And the Shach says even the Rif agrees with Rashi. in the back of the Rabbi Sabolovsky Sefer in Hilchas Nida, Rabbi Sabolovsky, I believe on page 240, 241, quotes the whole sugya the way we just put it together. And in the back of the Sefer, we mentioned the best part of the Sefer is he has like the notes, the ha'aris from the Rebbeim and Yeshiva. So he has ha'aris from Rabbi Neuberger. Rabbi Neuberger writes that he heard from Reb David Lifshitz that you should certainly not do bedikas kledim tashmish. And Rabbi Neuberger says, I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe we hold like the Shach. But it's not clear. Most of the Paiskin, the Teres HaShlomim writes that you should not be makel against the Mechaber unless you're in the Mokko and that you're for sure that the Minig is like this. Some Kala teachers say, do Bedikas first three times. Says Rabbi Neuberger, follow what Reb David Lifshitz said, because most people who do it wrong entirely. You see, if you do the three Bedikas to make sure that you're not a Raya Machmas Tashmish, very often you can do those Bedikas at the beginning of marriage. The beginning of marriage, you still have concerns of Dan Basulim. And it's likely that the dam that's going to end up on your bedikah cloth is going to be technically dam basulin, no? And it's likely that she's really not tameya because I could be toila b'machla in the dam basulin. But now I'm going to be choshesh that what? Yeah, roh machmas tashrish. And we're going to learn tomorrow, Mir Hashem, we're going to cook pei zayin. Roh machmas tashrish in certain circumstances has to get divorced from her husband. Certain circumstances she can never remarry. So you're setting yourself up for real problems. Even, by the way, if you assume that you should do bedikas, the Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuva, don't do bedikas in what we call the ona of the Trumas Hadeshen, meaning the Trumas Hadeshen establishes this yisod, that if you never see dam in this window, you never see dam, let's say, in these 14 days of the month, right? So then in those days, you're like an Isha Sheyesh Laveses, and we saw in Kuf Pei Vav Sef Aleph, the Isha Sheyesh Laveses does not do any bedikas unless you hold like the Rambam, and the Rambam tells me that we don't hold like the Rambam. But because I'm asking, Rabbi Neuberger, if I remember correctly, like the year that I was preparing for marriage, so Rabbi Neuberger gave some chaburis, there was a bunch of guys in the group. I remember Rabbi Yaakov Roblowski was there with me, and Rabbi Neuberger said that if your wife wants to do a bedika at the beginning of marriage, call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'll convince her not to. I think that was his nusach. Maybe he said 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. You can't hold me on exactly which o'clock. But the point is, like the Masorah in our yeshiva is don't do it. Do not do bedikas kaidim tashmish at all. We follow the Shach in Kuf Pevav, like Reb David Lifshitz said. Again, he didn't say B'fish, we follow the Shach. But, and maybe we get there kind of through the back door. The Pista Tshuva here quotes from the Chavis Das that even if you don't do bedikas, but you should do like a kinuach mi bachutz, don't do that either. Don't do anything. Right now, maybe the Rif is nervous about you'll be a Roi Dam Machmas Tashmish. Let's be honest. We're going to speak for the next day or two about Roi Dam Machmas Tashmish. It don't happen. You don't have to be about Roi Dam Machmas Tashmish. And it could be that the Tashmish Hamita itself is as good as the Bedika. But you have the Tashmish Hamita and there was no Dam, so that's as good as the Bedika. Do not do Bedikas Kaidim Tashmish. Right? Do I have to make it more clear? Okay? I should ask. Repeat after me. Don't do it. Akiva, you have a ha'ara? The Ramah writes. The Ramah means that you use the cloth to check yourself right afterward, but you're going to have be a 4 or 5 times the same night. You don't have to check between the cloth. Don't have to look at the cloth after each bia. Wait until the morning until you look at the cloth. Again, the longest. The Ramah and the Mechaber hold that there's some type of bedika. We don't paskin that way. We don't paskin that way. We paskin don't do bedikas. Look in the back of Rabbi Sabolovsky's book, The Last Note of Rabbi Neuberger. Don't do it. Right? We got to make this clear. Right? Is this abundantly clear as mud? Don't do it. Okay, gentlemen, have a great day. Anyway.